on page Kuf Lamed, Haganah Parsha Kuf Lamed, Krach Bereishis. A common theme that runs throughout this Parsha is Bris Mila. It's at the beginning of the Parsha, it's at the end of the Parsha. So at the beginning it says, Vayomer Elokim Aval Sarah Ishtecha Yoledes Ben, Yoledes Lecha Ben, V'Achras Shmo Yitzchak, your wife is going to have a Ben, he's going to have a son. You're going to name him Yitzchak. Actually, this isn't at the beginning of the Parsha, sorry. V'akimosti es brisi iso v'chulei v'chulei. And later on the Parsha, you're going to have a Mila on the eighth day. So we're going to talk not specifically so much about the Bris Mila, but we're going to talk about an important aspect of the Bris Mila, is the Seuda of the Bris Mila. That's one aspect. And we're also going to talk about this concept of don't invite people to the Bris Mila. Inform them, but don't invite them. So we're going to see for the basis for that custom, for that minhag, for that halacha. We're going to see if there's a basis, and we're going to see maybe some exceptions that even if somebody does invite you, that we'd be permitted to not attend. So we're going to have to go through that sugya. It's a very fascinating sugya. So first we're going to talk about the reasons for having a seuda at a bris mila. Bris mila is obviously a derech, but how about the seuda? What are the reasons for having a seuda? So we're going to talk about the reasons for having a meal, a festa meal, at the bris mila, and then we're going to talk about is the seuda itself, a din del rice, is it derabanan, is it simply a minhag? Then we're going to talk about how many people we need at the bris mila, and then we're going to talk about inviting to the bris mila. Okay, we're starting at Kuf Lamed. We're on the first paragraph that starts, Chamisha Ta'ami Matzanu. We have five different reasons why we have a seuda. Jump down to the fifth line, where it says, Ukefisha Kasa Bepirke Apirke de Rebbe Eliezer, Kishenolad Yitzchak Ben Ches Yamim. When Yitzchak was born, first person who had the Mila Bismana was Yitzchak Avinu. Avram was how old when he had his bris Mila? 99 years old. Yishmael was 13 years old, so Yitzchak apparently was the first one that had it Bismano at 8 days old. Kishenolad Yitzchak ben Ches Yamim, he gisha la Mila. Shenemar, at 8 days old, that's when we have a bris Mila, as the Pasuk says, Vayimol Avram es Yitzchak ben Shmones Yamim, that Avram Avinu, who had the responsibility as the father to give the bris Mila to his son, 8 days old, the gisha la Mincha agave al Mizbeach, and he brought him as a Mincha, Korban Mincha al Mizbeach. We will get back to that in Mir Hashem. He did a simcha, it was a festivity, he also did a smisht as a seuda. Right, he had a meal. That was part of the celebration. Mikan amru chachamim, from here Chazal said, that's already an implication, chachamim is not a deraisa, it's a derabanan, we would say it's a seuda. Chachamim said, based on this, chayav adam laso simcha umishte ba'osa yom shezacha la'amu las benot. So somebody also should make a simcha and a mishta on the day that of the mila, just like Avram Avinu. Avram, when he was machnis his son Yitzchak for the bris, he had a seuda. So too, throughout the generations, dating thousands of years back from Avram till this time, we have a seuda after the bris.
Didn't make one for Shmuel.
There was nothing to celebrate. Okay, next. So Hashani, but Rabbeinu doesn't say that they had a seuda. It says seuda by Yitzchak.
But I'm saying they didn't. Shmuel didn't have the same kind of bris meal that Jews had, right?
Based on Rashi, he did.
Yeah.
I think so. Based on Rashi at the end of the Parsha, I don't know. But it says Avram had different because physically it was different, but Yishmael, they had to do some real surgery. Okay, so Barabbeinu Bachya, bottom right, last line on the page, he brings the second reason why we have a Suda, Mitzvah's Mila. This is going to be a little bit technical, but it's fascinating. Mitzvah's Mila hu ki'inyan korban. Bringing a Mila is like bringing a korban. That's what it's like. How is that? Ukeshem shedam korban the kapara al mizbeach. Just like the dam of the korban, when you put it on the mizbeach, acts as a kapara, as a repentance. Kach dama mila mechaper. The blood of the Mila also acts as a kapara, as for repentance. Al kain mitzvasa biyom hashmini. Accordingly, just like a korban, you can only start bringing a korban from an animal that's how old? 8 days old. So too, the animal has to be added, that's what the pasuk says. So too, we only start the mila, the mitzvah of mila is on 8 days, just like the korban. And just like it says, when it says, by a korban v'achlu o samasher kuparba, and that there's an achila. Those who are having a kapara from the korban, they eat it. So too, shachilas a korban kapara. Kach Yisrael, when we do a seuda, when we have a bris mila, we also have a seuda. Just like the korban acts as a kapara, so too the bris mila is a kapara. Just like the part of the kapara of the korban is being eaten, so too we have a suda by the bris milah, and then he goes on and says it's a beautiful concept. He says it, and this is even more important than the korban, because the korban is simply somebody's money, and this is your body. So he says it's even more powerful, even a stronger kapara than a korban is the bris milah. Beautiful, Rabbeinu Bachya, Hashlishi. Next paragraph down, the third reason why we have a suda lagabe yisro shenemar. He had a bris. The question was, he's acting on the technicalities of it. So look at Rashi there. He says that Avram certainly had a bris at 13. But Rashi there, he says that Avram was because of you, so it wasn't. But Yishmael had to have more.
So someone who's born without a foreskin has to have because of the kapara.
You have to have some.
No, some
based on that reason. That could be based on that reason. It would explain it. Very nice. Very nice. Okay, Ashlishi.
How many times could a baby before he's 8 years old have?
Well, who's bringing the korban? Could be that it's the father. It's a very good question. Who's getting the kapara?
Right,
so it could be that he's the Bala Bris, he's the Bala, so it could be that he's bringing the korban.
It's like a self-sacrifice.
I hear. So we have a mold between the two.
We have a similar thing
that the person holding the baby is bringing the korban. That's the korban mincha, and that's like the ketores, and the kfater who brings it in, kvater is from Lashon Kitores. It's part of the korban. So it's a nice continuation of the concept. Ashlishi, the Gabay Yisro, another concept of why we have a Suda, Shenemar, Vayobo, Aaron, Bechozig, Neiso, Lechol, Lechem, Imchosen, Moshe, Lifnei, Elokim. When is this talking about? After Yitzias Mitzrayim, Yisro hears about all the Nisim and Nifos. He comes and meets them, and then they sit down and eat. What are they eating? What are they celebrating? So the Mefarshim say that that was his, for the Ramban. The Ramban says that was his bris. He had a bris then, and they're all sitting down and having the Suda. The Suda at Yisro's bris, when he came and he was Megayer after he's hearing all about Yitzias Mitzrayim. Okay, so that's source number three. Source number four, reason number four. Kuflamet Aleph Taf Bright. Ha Revi Mi Gemara B'Shabes Kuflamet Amar Aleph Tanya Revi Shimon B'Gavliel Omer. Kol Mitzvah Shikiblu B'nei Yisrael Alem B'Simcha Kegon Mila. Any mitzvah that Kol Yisrael accepted upon themselves B'Simcha like Mila, as it brings in the Pasuk in Tehillim. Sas Anochi Alim Rasecha K'mosei Shal Arav. I'm excited. Sason, I'm happy about Al Imra Secha, like somebody who finds a treasure. Adain Osinosov is a Simcha. They're still doing it for Simcha. Simcha back then, Simcha now. And what's the Imra Secha? So Rashi explains the first Amira, the first mitzvah here that is being told to Avram Avinu is Amira Yechida Shekadna Shar Amiras. This is the first Amira that we have, is that we have the mitzvah of Mila. So that is number four. And number five, Achamishi, next paragraph down, by Avudraham. Avudraham is a very famous Rishon, one of the Rishonim who wrote a beautiful Perush on Tefillah. So he writes as follows: Kasav Zelashonava Kach Amar David Amelech, and Tehillim also says, Isvu Li Chasidai, gather together my Chasidim, Korse Brisi, all those who enter into a Bris for me, Ale Zavach. What is Ale Zavach? Rabbi Seinu Zal Amu Zosu Udas Mila. This is talking about the Suud of a Mila. Umefarshim Ale Zavach, Zav, what's Zavach? Typically we say Zvachim, right? But we say Zav Ches. Dam Mila Shu Zav Lishmona Yamim. Zavach, Zav Ches is the flowing of the blood on the eighth day, which is the Dam Mila. So here we have five different reasons for having the Suda, five different bases for the Suda. Real quickly, it was based on the number one was the Mishnah that Mishnah, the Suda that Abram did for his son Yitzchak. Number two was the comparison to the Korban. Number three, I'm just gonna have the crypt notes here. Suda Mila Shal Yisro was because Yisro, just like the celebration of the Suda after he was the guy.
I thought they didn't do Bris Mila in the Midbar.
This is
only on children.
The Levim also did. Everyone else did, but here they did for. We have the Suudas Mila of Yisro, and also placed on the Pasuk, Sasa Anochi Alim Rasecha, and also the Pasuk, Ale Zavach. Okay, so next question is, obviously the Bris Mila is a Del Raisa. It's a very critical thing, obviously, and it's one of the two mitzvahs Aseh that if you don't do it, you have Kares. Korban Pesach, and Mitzvah Saseh, that somebody doesn't do it, is Kares, and also a Mila. But how about the Seuda? Is the Seuda required Del Raisa? So on Kuf Lamed Aleph, Top left. Begeder chiyuv seuda zo nechlaku beposkin. The poskim disagree. What is the strength of the obligation? Bishari tshuva herich bazeu bedvara baby misefer or ne'alam shakasev disudas bris mila bizmana hi mitzvah deoraisa. It have it bizman. This, according to that, it is a deoraisa, not only the bris, but when the bris is bisman, there's a mitzvah mideoraisa to have the suda. Other poskim say it's a derabanan. The Shulchan Aruch's language goes as follows, and you'll tell me, is it deoraisa derabanan? He says, nohagim lasa suda biyamamila. What does it sound like?
Minog.
Nohagim. Says it's a minog in the Shulchan Aruch. Nonetheless, the Ramah and the Or Zeruah say that it is, even if you want to say it's a minog, it is a Suda's mitzvah. So it's a kiyum of a Suda's mitzvah, having the Suda at the bris milah. Okay, next din. There's an interesting din to have 10 at the bris milah. If you don't have 10, we paskin, you can do it with less. But if you don't have, ideally we'd have 10. So it says Kasav Ashulchan Aruch, Kuf Lamed Aleph, two paragraphs on the bottom. Kasav Ashulchan Aruch, Hecha De'efshar, Avdinan, the Mila Ba'asara, when we are able to. We have the mila with 10 people. And if you don't have 10, for whatever reason, you still go forward with the bris mila. We're not talking about the suda now, we're talking about the bris mila. Bris mila, 10. We have a similar concept by Kiddush Levana. Kiddush Levana, you should have 10. We'll see some parallels coming up in a little bit between Kiddush Levana and the bris mila. You should have 10. We should have, or at least dance about a suda. So we should have 10. But what do you if you don't have 10?
Halavaya Sameis also.
Halavaya Sameis. Yeah, you should have 10.
But if you don't.
But if you don't, you still do it, obviously. So you still do it. So, Chachmas Adam. Now we're going to go through. Why 10? Why would we need 10 at a bris mila? Bottom left. Chachmas Adam. Beer. But why a minion? Why do we need a minion? We don't say Kaddish. We don't. It's not a davar shakak. So b'chach masadam bir demashi hitzricho asara hu mishnei tamim. He brings two to pirsume nisa, to be mefarsim the nest. We should have more than one, two. We should have a minion. We should have an eda. We should make a kiddush Hashem pirsume nisa. And number two is fascinating.
What's the nice?
Pirsume mitzvah. I'm sorry, nitzvah. Thank you. Yeshakach pirsume mitzvah. Mefarsim the mitzvah. I'm going to say it again. And next, mishum shatinoku kiyotze mebeis hasur. And this is fascinating. The child, till now, was effectively in jail. And now the child has come out of jail. What do we have when somebody comes out of jail? If somebody also was in a dangerous situation, we would say similar. Birkas HaGomel. How many people should you have for Birkas HaGomel?
10
people. Shitzarech lahodes b'chnei asoriya. 10 people, as we do at Birkas HaTorah. It doesn't have to be Birkas HaTorah, the Kriyas HaTorah. V'amate Moshe Mosif, shizeh gamken atam shatzibu omer hodu l'Hashem kitov. That's why we say hodu. Thank you. It's like a Birkas HaGomel. The child can't say it, so the tzibur says it. At least 10 people should be there for the Birkas HaGomel on behalf of the child. V'makam HaKatan sheni yodea l'dabra. That's reason number two why we should have 10 people at the first meal. That's the reason number three. The first one is because of Pirsume Mitzvah. The
right.
Second one here.
Why doesn't somebody say Birkas HaGomel on behalf of
them? There's a halacha that you don't say Gomel on behalf of somebody else. It has to be just the individual. So this would be an effective Birkas HaGomel, but we don't say on behalf of somebody else. Yeah.
We don't say Birkas HaGomel.
Like a son, for example.
How about a husband for a wife after baby?
The wife would make it. Like, for example, the post can talk about if a child gets sick. Parent doesn't say on behalf of the child the Birkas HaGomel. Okay, so Kuf Lamed Beis, top right. Yeah, depending on the situation, but those are different parameters. Kuf Lamed Beis, top right. Tam Shlishi, why we have 10. The Or Zeruah Bier Demimasha Amu Bapirke the Rebbe Eliezer. Kol Eidu Shenasan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yishol Lo Nitna Ela Ba'asara. If you have any questions on this, I will plead the fifth. Any testimony that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to HaKadosh, that to Klal Yisrael was given with not fewer than 10 people. There is a difference. Eidus is typically 2 or 3. There are certain times where Eidus has more. Anytime HaKadosh, and I'll give you an example in a little bit. Lachain Tzrichin Asara Kedei She'yaidu Alav. We have Asara, we have 10 people giving testimony that this father was Mekayim the mitzvah of being machnis his son into bris milah. There's an interesting halacha. Friday night, you extended your Shemona Esrei, and everyone already said vayichulu. Some poskim say that, what should you do? Find somebody to sell vayichulu. Another person, right? Why? Why another person? We have two edus with people. There's a taz, if I remember correctly, that says it's, you should be saying vayichulu with 10. This is a different status of edus. Different status of edus.
Also, when you want to go, you want to go to someone's grave and ask for mechila.
Maybe that's a different deen. Maybe that's a different deen. But
Lamaisa, is the father counted as 10, and if so, then he doesn't need 10 edim to his mitzvah.
So if it's 10 of Adim, then we should say it should be in addition.
11.
You know, obviously we include him.
Yeah.
In addition, that question comes also when it comes to Birkas HaGomel. Is it with the person saying the bracha, and we pass him that it is with the person saying the bracha. But it's a bigger, this was the sole tam, then we would have to say maybe you need 11. But we do say you need just 10. Okay, so in any case, they're giving edus, 10 people giving edus that he's done the mitzvah. You guys, maybe when it comes to this type of edus, you can give edus and yourself that I did. So that's number 3, why we need 10 people at the bris milah. Tam Ravi, next paragraph down, if you jump down to the third line in the middle, Tzrichim ha'omdim sham lomar k'shem shenichlas bris, ken yikanes l'toro l'chupa l'maisim tovim. Well, if everyone's there, it says, just like he went to the bris, so he machnis him to Torah l'chupa l'maisim tovim. So here it says, it's interesting, who should really be saying this? Keshem shenichnas l'bris. Maybe it should just be the Moel. The Moel said, Keshem shenichnas l'bris. He was in the bris, so he should also. But everyone says it. Why is everyone saying this? So it's effectively, based on this reading, this reason, you need an Eida. An Eida is how many people?
10. Yeah.
10 people. We learn it from the Meraglim. Eida. We learn it from the Meraglim. You should have 10. That's a minion. 10 people testifying that it is a responsibility of Klal Yisrael. Just like, right, if the father didn't do the bris milah, the son has it. The basin has to. It becomes a responsibility of Klal Yisrael. So too, now that we as an aid that were machnis this child into the bris, so too we have a communal responsibility to be machnis him l'torah u'l'chupa also. It's a communal responsibility for one another to take care of things. And that's why we meet up a proclamation, an affirmation by the tzibor that this is something that we are going to handle, we're going to take care of.
So I have a minute, I'll leave the role, what should say.
לכאורה לו אמירה זו הייתה יוסר נאוסה למועל עצמו כיוון שהכניסו לבריס נעשה סיילה because he started, I can't really say, because he started the bris, so he's continued. We would say the similar concept. Just to make up an answer.
Okay.
Like somebody, we say have a din by slichos, right? That if somebody who's the shliach tibur by slichos, he should continue doing the shliach tibur for the minyan. Because he started the mitzvah, should he continue? So we would say that he's on that. He started it, he should continue it. Okay, so that's number 4. Number 5, Tam Chamishi, Kasa B'Sefer Abris, Tekeven Shinira Shiroi Levar Shesimcha B'Mona. This is very interesting. Simcha B'Mona, we say when? We say B'Sheva Bracha. Why don't we say Simcha B'Mona at Abris? This is a tremendous Simcha. It's Simcha in its time. It's also a Simcha. So it's a technicality why we don't say it, because this Yanoka, this child, is sitting in pain. He's writhing in pain. Let's not say, oh, the celebration, you know, let's have a little Rachmanis on the kid. So, but in effect, this is the type of setting that we should say Simcha Bo'ono. Simcha Bo'ono, we should have 10 people. We require 10 people. So too, even though we're not going to have the Simcha Bo'ono, but still we should have the 10 people, because this format is something we could say Simcha Bo'ono at.
It's interesting also, by bris, when you bench, you do the
Harachamans, right?
Whereas Shavuot Brachos, you do
that.
It's also a type.
Yeah.
Still hit the benching,
right.
Add on the benching specifically.
Yeah. Okay, bottom right is beautiful. We're going to read it inside. B'sefer derech pikudecha, kuflam ebeis, bottom right. B'sefer derech pikudecha hevi me'azohar, shebesha'a shechotchim es ha'orla. At the time that the orla is actually cut, at the time of the cutting of the bris, HaKadosh Baruch Hu machnis kol pamalya shelo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the whole heavenly bodies together. U'miskale u'misrabe shechina ha'shora al Yisrael b'schus ha'bris. There is a gilui shechina at that time in the merit of the bris. U'mishum kabbalas pnei shechina nagu kol Yisrael l'kayim mitzvot b'rovam. Because we have the revelation of the bris, of the shechina at that time, what do? The minhag is to do this b'rovam. We should have as many Jews there as possible. So it's a beautiful concept, but there's a din not only in 10, but Barov Am Hadras Melech as well, because of the Tekidu Ishchina. Now there's a follow-up din to that, that at the end of the bris, what tefillah do we say? Aleinu L'Shabeach. Why do we say Aleinu L'Shabeach? Go jump over to Kiddush Levana. Why do we say Kiddush Levana? What do we end up with? Aleinu L'Shabeach. Kiddush Levana is the Gilui Shechina also. And at that time, with the Gilui Shechina of the Kiddush Levana, we say Aleinu L'Shabeach L'Adon HaKol. So too, we have a Gilui Shechina at the bris. We want to end off also with an Aleinu L'Shabeach. Beautiful concept.
So he's got his phrase here. L'kach af sheyesh asara mikol makol mitzvah yesh al hanosafim. So right away, is an
additional people to come.
It's an inference that you ought to go, if you're not invited.
Even if you're not invited, yeah. So, based on that, let's talk about invitations. And do you got to go?
I'm your
and even if you're not, this is a good segue, and even if you're not invited, should you crash? So we're at Kuf Lamed Beis, left side, in the middle of the place, in the middle of the page. So it says, B'gemora B'psachim. Kuf Yud Gimel. Amid Beis Muva. What is that? Gemara Pesachim Kuf Yud Gimel Amid Beis Muva Shiva Minudin LaShamayim. There are seven that are effectively excommunicated from heaven. Shiva Minudin LaShamayim. Eluhen, these are they. Yehudi Shein Lo Isha, a man who was able to get married and decided, I'm not interested in getting married. Forget that. Vishyesh lo isha ve'in lo banim. What was that?
Except Ben Azza. He didn't get married. He's married to the Torah.
Right. Well, you know, Ben Azza would be an exception to the rule. You know, that it's talking about who doesn't have the... Vishyesh lo isha ve'in lo banim. Somebody who was able to have children and said, you know what, forget it. I don't want to. Somebody who does have children but decides not to raise them based on the ways of the Torah. Somebody who doesn't have talis and tefillin on his hand on his head and eyes. He has tefillin, I don't want to put them on. Or doesn't even bother getting them. Tzitzis bebigdo, doesn't put on tzitzis, should have tzitzis, doesn't put on tzitzis, doesn't make an effort. Umezuzah bepischo, and he doesn't have mezuzah on his door. V'hamoneya minali miragla, this is the one that, which one of these things don't seem to belong with the other, it doesn't have shoes. And I checked and did one of them, unfortunately, was it's like just a lowly, base, crude thing to be walking around without shoes. Although it may be in style in certain places in the world.
Well, Rabbi Shaila came up about letting Kohen Duchen barefoot. Came up in Arshid and Noel Yitzhak one time. I said, the Mishnah Berurah, I think, says it's mutter. It's not Yishuv.
But that's Duchenim. That's Duchenim. Just talking about walking all around. So, the Yesh Omri, this is critical for us. Number 8. There's 7. We brought the 7. There's an opinion that says, the Yesh Omri, Af mi she'ein mesa b'chabura shomit. So somebody who does not participate in a chabura of mitzvah, a sudas mitzvah. What is a chabura shel mitzvah?
That's also a wedding.
Very good, Professor Wolf. That's also a wedding. So it's also a wedding.
Right.
So jump down to the next paragraph.
It's dafka suda, not necessarily the bris.
We don't know yet.
You said the
chabura. I chabura shel mitzvah.
You said suda.
So let's see. Jump down to the next paragraph. Third line down. We're going to give 3 explanations what a chabura shel mitzvah is. Number 1, it says aleph. Where Rabbeinu Hanan el Bir shukigon kiddush ukiyotze. What's a kiddush? For example, you didn't say kiddush. You're not involved in a kiddush. We're going to leave that aside. Betosfos. Hevi dahainu su'udas mila. It is not a su'uda of a mila. Somebody who did not participate, did not dine. It has to be the dine. It's not the bris itself. Dining, eating in the su'uda of a bris mila. Damar b'medrash hanitzol midino shel genem. That somebody who does participate is saved from the din of genem. There are great milas. That's mekabelus pnei shechina. Follow on the su'uda celebrating the bris mila. So that is number 1. That's number 2. And number 3.
What did you say? Saved from Gehenna?
Dino shel Gehenna.
It
doesn't mean that you can, you know, you have that question by it's a, you have a kapara being buried in Eretz Yisrael. It's like being born buried under the Mizbeach. And the closer if you're an RSA, it doesn't mean that you can be a manuval your whole life and just be buried right there.
He said that the breast lover said they can seek in Klali and get you a 10 Kapitel of Tefillin and they take out of Gehenna. Right?
Yeah. Not that easy.
But if you don't have
pace,
you're in trouble.
Gimel. Gimel. Od kasav sham betosa shu su'udas nisuin betalmid chacham ubas koin lekoin. It has to also include somebody that doesn't involved in a chabur shal mitzvah, doesn't eat in it. It's also talking about certain types of chasana. Chasana of a talmid chacham, a chasana of a bas koin, marrying a koin. So based on that, jump down to the next paragraph. Elachain. Pasak harama. We are knowing to take a minion for Sudas Mila and for the Suda also, not only the bris itself, umikre Sudas Mitzvah. And that is a Sudas Mitzvah. The next, top of Kuflamed Gimel, top right, the Chol Mi Sheino Ochel, the Sudas Mila, heavy Kemenuna La Shamayim. Anyone who does not eat in the Suda of a Mila is as if he is excommunicated from heaven. That's pretty severe.
And I guess
it
means wash. It doesn't just mean.
Doesn't say?
Yeah. So
Eino ochel besudas mila ebikemenuna lashamayim.
Let's see.
It says also in the end of the last one, beimeno holech.
Holech. So we have to define it. Is it somebody who doesn't go? Is it somebody who doesn't go to the suda? Somebody sits in the suda, doesn't eat anything? What does it mean? Okay, so kadima. Kuf Lamed Gimel, top right, Ubi Ikar, second paragraph. Ubi Ikar Chiyuv Amitza Lishtatev. Jump down to the next two lines down. Tikunei Azohar, Vechem B'migdal Oz LaHayayivitz. They said, Shekol Ha'am Ha'ochin L'Bris Mila Ha'reyam K'mekabli Pnei Shechina. We're talking about the great mile of going to the Bris Mila. It's as if you're Mekabli Pnei Shechina V'yeshomim Shemevatlin Talmud Torah K'dei Lishtatev B'mila. There's an opinion that says you can be Mevatl Talmud Torah. And Mibishilta Givorim says, Shemidames mitzvahs mila lahalvaya sames, as you said, Jonathan, Shemivatlin Torah. That's just like somebody, it's just like being Milava Mace. It's on the same level of Milava Mace, so too, it is going to bris mila or Mevatl Torah. Okay, so Hamakor, where's the source to not invite then? We've said what so far? We said that somebody who isn't eating in a chabura shal mitzvah is meduna lashamayim. He is excommunicated to heaven. Okay, so based on that, we're on the Kuf Lamed Gimel, middle of the page. The Pischei Tshuva Evi, Misefer Sharvit Hazav Shetov Levatel, Masha Shamash Kora Al Sudash Bismila. We should be Mevatel, we should nullify, we should do away with this, that the Shamash, the inviter, who goes around, he invites people to the Suda of Bismila. Ki ulai lo yechu mitamim amitavim v'yechaser shalom b'chlayad nidui. Somebody who's invited and doesn't attend, they could be included in the excommunication. It says whoever doesn't go, eino mesa, doesn't eat at the su'uda. It's apparently talking about people who are invited, because if you're not invited, we're not running around having millions of people at every bris because we're still scared about being excommunicated.
Why should you not invite? You just inform.
Ah, so we should be mevatel, tov levatel. We shouldn't be mevatel inviting people. V'achein, the Mevoskim said, Shemin Aroi, instead of inviting people, we should inform people. And if there's not a formal invitation, but rather, I'm having a bris on Tuesday at 9 a.m., as opposed to you're invited, cordially invited, love to see you, please come. The person is not being invited, so we are assisting him in not being included in Menudah LaShamayim, being excommunicated from heaven, because he didn't have an official invitation. We will, Amir Tashem, at the end, define what does an invitation mean. What if you send something online? I haven't seen any poskim talk about that you send one of these online invitations, or you just WhatsApp your friends, or whatever it may be, but maybe we'll see.
All of those gadgets are also. Most
of
you are not going to deal with that.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true, but maybe we can extrapolate here between us.
My wife's family.
As gentlemen, maybe we'll try to get an answer.
My wife's family, so there's a lot of people that they cannot afford that. People that have people that they're not come, you know, to pay for people that not come, so they want to know who's coming or not.
Right.
So, what are you doing?
So, what you could do is instead of using the nusach, you are cordially invited. We are having a bris. Please RSVP. Please let us know if you're coming. But you weren't invited, technically, but you'll let us know if you're coming.
I was an RSVP asking to respond. You only respond to something if you were asked.
If respond positively, not negatively, then. Let us know if you're coming. Very good. Okay, so bottom, Kuflam and Gimel, bottom right. Ure'e. B'sefer HaBris brings the Yaivitz, Shelo yazminu mi sheyodim bo she'eino ba. Don't invite somebody if you know they're not coming. Because then you could have a problem. You
but
could
that
be
means
putting them.
You can't invite someone if you don't know.
That does, yeah. But then he brings the other opinion that says don't invite at all. Don't invite at all. Okay,
it's also
so
important when you ask someone for a kibbutz. If you want to give someone a kibbutz, you should first, I guess, ask, are you
available?
Right.
How could you do it? Are you available to have a kibbutz? Right. Maybe. But now we have to see the pturim. Who doesn't have to come? Meaning, okay, you're invited. But you know, this is more common outside of Israel. People work. And they work during the times that there's like a bris milah. Here it's an amazing thing. It's like, okay, the bris milah is at 11:30. If you try to have a bris milah in Chutz La'aretz on a non-Sunday at 11:30, you would have the father
and the mohel. And the baby.
And the baby. Yeah,
I'm invited to my nephews. They're having it at 3 o'clock in the afternoon next week.
In Israel.
In Israel, yeah.
Yeah, it's fine. That's great. You know, it's convenient for people to come, and then you could have the meat meal, and it's often dictated by the mohel, because he's got 18 other people that he's got to get to first, so they're slotted every 45 minutes throughout Yerushalayim, so there are a lot of shikulim that we have to go through. But here, you just put it and people can show up whatever time it is, because everyone's always available, but in Chutz La'aretz, people seem to have schedules and responsibilities. And working.
In Sfardim, they have the Suda before they have the meal.
Interesting.
They have the Suda and then they have the meal.
They have the Suda and then the Bris.
And then the Mila. Yeah.
The Mila, okay. Yeah. Okay, so what are some of the exceptions to the rule? Why? What are some of the reasons maybe we don't got to come? Or I'm in a certain situation, I got to work, or I'm in the yeshiva, I'm going to miss minyan. What works to get us out of this excommunication? Because that's a pretty serious barrier that we've got to get over. So we're on Kuf Lamed Gil.
That's assuming you're
invited.
What? That's assuming you're
invited. Yeah. Okay. If you're not invited, then
you're just
but,
informed.
But if you're just informed, but what if you're invited?
Okay.
Or even if I'm informed, but it's a big deal to go. It's to be makabel b'chnei shchina, so I still should have a p'tur. Otherwise, the default is I should be going. Kuf lamed gimel. We're on the second paragraph from the top. P'tur rishon muva ba'agos ram teitelboim. Shetama l'ramah she'evias divrei ha'tosef. If you look back at the Gemara, it's a yesh omrim. The yesh omrim. There is an opinion, an eighth category of people that are excommunicated. So Rav Teitelbaum says, you know, the Ramah brings this to halacha, that somebody who is invited to a bris, somebody should go to a bris, and you're excommunicated, you don't go to the bris. But it's a yesh omrim. Why do we paskin like a yesh omrim? Maybe we don't paskin like the yesh omrim at all. So he says, v'nira shakach tikek da harama. If you look closely at the Rama, he's asking a question. Rama, why do you say they're excommunicated? Maybe we don't paskin like the yesh omrim. So if you look closely at the Rama, the Rama did not say the same language as the Gemara, that somebody who doesn't go to a bris, doesn't eat at a bris, is menuda lashamayim. The lashon of the Rama is Kimid nuda lashamayim. He is as if it's similar, but not exactly.
It's who's going to do it? Otherwise.
It's not exactly.
We have no the same language in the other thing. Who can menuda?
Who can? Well, in the Gemara or in the Rama?
In
look in the Gemara. The Gemara at the end of Kuflamid Beis in the left side. In the middle, it says, "V'yesh omrim av mishe meza b'chaburah shal mitzvah." The beginning is Shiva menudin lashamayim. There are seven people that are excommunicated. The Rama doesn't say menudin; he says, "Heavy ket menuda lashamayim."
Who's going to do that?
Yeah, I don't know. That's so just comparing the Gemara to the Rama.
Who would do that? There's no base thing to do that.
No, lashamayim.
Oh,
lashamayim. Okay, so number one, the Rav Teitelbaum is saying, you know what? Maybe it's not the worst thing. It's not the Rama is not saying you're in nidoy. It's not a good thing, but it's not, strictly speaking, an excommunication. It's the message to us that Shamayim is not happy.
SMS.
P'tur Sheni. Bottom left. P'tur Sheni. B'tshuvas van Hagos brings from the Hagos Yismach Moshe. Four lines down in that source. Shakavana al Mishin Nimsa ve'eno Mesa. The Kavana is somebody who goes to the bris and doesn't eat. Aval im lo ba. The lashon of the Gemara is somebody who does not mesav, does not dine at a chaburo shel mitzvah. But if I'm not there, I don't have the potential to dine. So the invitation doesn't act to require me to go. I don't have to go. But if I am there, the whole concept of this menuna l'shamayim is, if I am there available to eat and I sit out, it's like a rebuke, it's like a slap in the face of the suda. I'm sitting here at the suda and I'm not eating. V'chein b'ramah medayik, if you look at the lashon of the ramah, mi she'eino ochel. Somebody who doesn't eat, v'lo perish mi she'eino ba. It doesn't say, the menuna l'shamayim is not somebody who doesn't come. The ramah says somebody who doesn't eat, meaning the implication is the nidu is you went and you didn't eat. That's the problem.
You don't like the food?
You're at the Su'udah and you do not eat.
It wouldn't apply if you went to the bris but left before the Su'udah, right?
I don't know. You make the homi she'eno ochel the Su'udah's meal. You were there and you should have stayed. It's still a slap in the face.
You're serving food.
Or you didn't
unless
eat
we have another
the
tour.
I wasn't at the Su'udah's upstairs.
But I was at. Let's see. I think we may have one of the other answers may supply some information. I think.
If you don't like the food, what do you do? Food's unhealthy. Or
bring your own.
Give you some greasy food. You don't want to eat it.
Eat a little bit. Uh-huh. Eat a little bit. Next, Ptur Shlishi, bottom left. The Ramah says a very important Ptur. Shenagu l'kachas. Meaning, actually, let's go to Kuf Lamed Dalet at the top right. In the middle of the line, v'davka shenimtzu sham b'nei adam uhugani. This concept of somebody who does a mace of Eid and the Su'udas Mila, that only applies if there are in attendance anashi mehugani, proper people. Proper people. We're going to.
If you don't like
it,
if you don't like the other people, you
can leave. Well, we're going to have to define what that means. Aval im nimtzu adam, if there are people there that aren't. Not the best quality. Respectable. Thank you, Jonathan. Not respectable. Ein sarich lechol. You don't have to eat this. So this whole concept is if this. So based on this, the Sefer Bris is medactic from the lashon of the Ramah. How about if there's one person, a few people that are not respectable? It says im nimtzu bnei adam she'ena mehuganim. If there are people there in attendance who are not respectable, you don't have to eat. It doesn't mean that it has to be. Even a few people that are not respectable, I don't have to be there. These are not my crowd. These aren't the people for me. They're not the greatest influence on me. That doesn't apply. The whole menudah l'shamayim is this is the right chevra for me. These are tzaddikim. These are proper people here that are medaktik b'mitzvahs. But if there are people, some riffraff there, then...
But a few riffraff spoils, you could have Dali Yisrael there, a few riffraff spoils.
But based on the postures of the Ramah, correct. And the Chazon Ish was asked the following question. Chazon Ish was asked, somebody was there sitting next to the Chazon Ish, I think, probably sitting at the bris, and says, you know, what's this concept? The Ramah says if you don't eat by a bris, you're menuda l'shamayim, but we sit at many brises and we don't eat. Probably because they didn't trust the Ashkacha. So the Chazon Ish says, you know what? Look at the Ramah. If there are people that are not muhuganim, if they're not respectable, dignified people, nimtzu b'nei adam she'ena muhuganim, ain't tzarech lechol sham. V'nei k'hayom, nowadays, al pirov, nimtzayim sham b'nei adam she'ena muhuganim. There are people at the brises that are not respectable. This is a Chazon Ish there. Chazon Ish was not the only gadol at the bris. You can be sure that there was a dais full of gadolim. Chazon Ish is saying, you know what, but there are some non-dignified people at the bris, we don't have to eat. Now the person who was having this conversation with the Chazon Ish said, so can you define for me what is a anashim huganim? What does that mean? People who are respectable, that if people who don't fit into the qualifications, they're not respectable, we don't have to eat at the bris.
Which political party?
Bishal. So he says they have to be part of Degel, or Eitz, or I don't know the names. Echveznes. I don't know what the names are. Bishal Mahageder. Next paragraph down. So the person asked the Chazon Ish, what is the geder of anashim she'ena mehuganim? What does that mean? People who are not respectable. So people who are not dignified. So the Chazon Ish brings three examples. These are just examples. It's not only these three, but these are the examples of what is a person who we don't have to stay by the bris. Number one, Aleph, She'enam zihirim b'netilas yadayim. They are not careful about netilas yadayim. They do it too quickly. Maybe they don't wash. They don't medaktik on the details.
The Chazon Ish is different than everybody else. Your hands can be wet by other people, but you wash, and the Chazon Ish is very strict that you cannot do that.
So I don't know if he's going to that level of that you didn't wipe off your hands totally to get all any moisture up. I don't know. We only have the categories, we don't have the details, and it's details would be nice here. Beis, she'enam zihirim bikinuach b'beis hakisa. There are lachas about how to wipe after going to the bathroom, and they are not careful about how they do that. That's number two. We don't want details on that one. And number three, Gimel, she'einam zihirim melechavin b'tfilah shmona esrei. They are not careful about how they daven their shmona. They daven too quickly. They don't pay attention to the words. They don't have proper kavana. These are three examples of what the Chazon Ish is saying. These are anashim she'einam mehuganim that we would not be required to be eating at the bris. So this is another p'tur.
Today he would add a fourth one of anybody who has a smartphone.
Anyone, that would be number one. Next, another p'tur is somebody who's learning, doesn't have to miss out on learning in order to make the bris. So the Truma Sedeshin was asked this question. People in the yeshiva, they wanted to go to a bris. And he says, the Talmidim, during Seder, he says, why do you want to run off to the bris so you can say amen to the brachas? Go to the Beis HaShchitah, go to the Shlach house, and there you also, you can just say amen after the bracha there. In other words, he's saying like, why do you want to miss Seder? You want to go to a bris? Go say, find another place to say amen if that's the case. So he didn't want them to go, in other words. Rav Sternbach says, Chuvash van Hagos Kasav HaZeshu Ulai. Maybe, you know, the Truma Sedeshin, that doesn't mean that everyone cannot close the books from learning. Maybe we should close the books from learning, but a bachur and yeshiva has a different status. We want to keep them in learning. We don't want them to be running away to this bris or that bris and to have excuses to missing Seder. Then we have to be stricter. But it could be indeed that when it comes to Talmud Torah, we should shut the books and go to the bris.
I assume that's what the Chazon Ish held. Otherwise, he would have given that answer.
His question was in general, why don't we don't eat at bris? And he wasn't talking specifically about people learning and what people don't eat at bris? Why don't they eat at bris?
Well, he must have closed his books to go there because he was there.
Well, it's a Chazon Ish, but you can't bring a proof either way from that. Kuv Lamed Daled, left side, second paragraph from the top. We are now on number five. B'sefer Abrius Hevi od Pturim. Other additional reasons why one would not have to go to the bris. Shemi Shetoras Umanasu. Somebody who's always learning. Oshi Yispatal Ayadeza Mitfilas Atzibur. Somebody who would miss minyan because he went to the bris. It's more important to make minyan than go to the bris. Or, listen to this one. Osek B'malacha Lefarnes B'nei Beisu. Somebody who has to earn a living. That would be a valid excuse to not go to the bris. You need to earn a parnasa. What?
It's a right here that's mutter.
To earn a living. Yeah. But maybe it's because like a bit yevin and needs the money, so then we'll have Rahmanas on it. So it's Ein alav chiyuv leilech l'sudas bris mila. Maybe he doesn't have an obligation to make to go to the sudas bris mila. No, he doesn't have. Ein alav, he doesn't have to make the bris mila. He doesn't. You have good p'turim. V'chein kasav shamod bris sefer bris says shekol ze ulai hu dafka kishahaya b'shas habris. Maybe all this is what I want to say. Maybe this whole nidui applies. You were in the bris. You should stay for the suuda. You left. That's a slap in the face of the suuda. So this is pretty strict. Like, maybe the whole nidui applies. You were there for the bris. Okay, if you weren't for the bris, so it doesn't apply. But you were there for the bris and you left for the suuda, you should have stayed for the suuda.
It's better to not go to the bris than to go to the bris and leave.
Based on that.
Yeah.
Based on that, but I'm not sure if you asked the shaila that's the psak. Because the bris, you have the gyule shechina, but leaving, hopefully we have a p'tur. I got to go somewhere. I got to pick up the kids. So we have a p'tur to not stay longer, but you still have the gyule shechina of the bris itself.
So maybe the people who put rugelach outside, that's off. Maybe that's part of
enabling them to
have a
stickle. To have an
eating. Yeah.
Almost every person in Jerusalem, they do that.
Yeah, I didn't look into what's the definition of eating.
They want everybody to stay and have a
do you have to have a motzi to have a... you can bench without... You can participate in the benching without having a motzi. So, but I don't know.
What participating in the
I don't know. I don't know.
One
bagel or two. Yeah. Certainly ideally washing. But I don't know if it's... Oh, kishayin minyan beladav. Or maybe this whole din applies if they need you for the minyan. This is a big kula. But if they don't need you for the minyan to stay, maybe there's not a problem. Okay. You know, it's interesting. In chutzars, you see at a bris, and it lasts 45 minutes. There's almost no one left to bench
you
at
bet.
The end. Right? Here it's different. People stay. But there you see...
You have a couple of seats for the schnorrs.
Plenty of people to join in. But there, people take off. Okay. So the next question, Professor Wolf's fantastic question was, so why does this only apply to a bris? Why does it also apply to a wedding? A chasana. You're saying don't invite. and because you're invited, you have an obligation. Why, when we send out invitations, we tell people, you are invited to the wedding. It's at the Rye Town Hilton. It's at the Binyan Ehuma at Tuesday night at 11:30, 6:30, whatever time it is. You're invited. RSVP, tell me if you're coming. So, lichora, we would have a problem inviting people to... Right? Tosfa says, you can't come to Chabura Shal Mitzvah. And he brought two explanations. One was a bris and one was a chasana. So the Sefer Chupas Chasanim indeed says that we should avoid inviting people to chasanas also, because maybe there's a problem of the excommunication based on Tosfos. Based on this Tosfos,
there are
that
people, by the way, in Yerushalayim that you put an announcement and they don't invite. I know, good for them.
They just say, we're having a wedding, like a bris.
Like they put an announcement in, you know, Haredi newspaper, like, I know Goodfarb did that. Rabbi Goodfarb, you probably don't know him. But he was one of the, he died a couple of years ago, but he was one of the big Bali Sadaka in Yerushalayim. I remember when his kid got married, just put an announcement in the newspaper. He didn't invite anybody.
So, Lemaisa, what's the difference between a bris and a chasana? So we're going to start with an Igros Moshe. I can't say I fully understand his chiluk, but I will try nonetheless. He says that when it comes to a bris, the trigger for somebody's obligation to go is being invited by the father. The father has the obligation to give the bris, and he invites people saying, come participate in my bris. And there's a special deen by a bris that you have to say, so covered to the bris itself. We could explain, he doesn't say this, but we could explain it as this is the Gilui Shechina there. There's a special inyan, a special mitzvah to show cover to the bris. Kodesh Baruch Hu, Gilui Shechina, go to the bris. When it comes to the chasana, it's not that I have to go because somebody who has an obligation is inviting me and I have to show cover to the bris, to the bris, that's a bris. But to the chasana, it's a mitzvah to go to chasana, to be mesameh chasana kala. But it's not the event, the greatness of the event that requires me to go like a bris, the Gilui Shechina, but it's to participate and be mesameh chasana kala. So it's a different, effectively, it's a, like a little bit lower of a level of an obligation to go to a chasana. He doesn't say that. That's a mitzvah, but it's not the chasana in of itself. It's the mesameh chasana kala. He doesn't say this. But I think that's what he's getting at. So what he says clearly, when it comes to a bris, kavod mitzvahs mila is the obligation, and you don't have the kavod mitzvahs chasana that I have to go to.
Rabbi Gershman told me in Malkum Shlomo that if we go to a chasana with the proper kavanas, it's like learning Torah. So we have the proper kavanas, so it is a shtickle different. You don't have a kavanas when you go to bris that you learn, like it's like learning Torah. So there's obviously something different about it.
Could be. Okay, Tshuvas Vanhagas brings another chiluk between a chasana that we do invite to, we're lenient on that, and a bris milah that we don't. Should have been nisuin. So when it comes to a nisuin, if we look carefully, it doesn't apply to every marriage that's just a meduna l'ashamayim, but rather it's the chasana of a Talmud Chacham. It's a chasana of a bas kohen to a kohen. Nowadays, we don't have a deen. Many poskim say we don't have a deen of a Talmud Chacham. We don't have that, a real Talmud Chacham nowadays. I guess there certainly are certain exceptions. We have Rav Chaim Kanievsky and the sort, but Obifrat Bizman Ezeh Shein Lanu Talmidei Chachamim L'Kama Dinim. Certain dinim, it doesn't apply that we have a Talmud Chacham. So the bris is the event itself is a problem, but a chasana, it's not every chasana, and we really don't fit in for the criteria of that somebody would be excommunicated to have it.
Coin.
Yeah, Basco and Kokoin, let's leave that, doesn't happen too often. Okay, so, but yes, that would apply. Next, another distinction between a chasana and a bris milah goes as follows. A Yisr v'nidui v'sheinu mesa b'misiba desudas mitzvah inu dafka b'nimna m'ibnei shemedame atzmol adam chashuv. The whole concept here of not going, this is Rav Sternbach also saying, the whole concept of not going is effectively when you have in mind, I am not going because it's below me. He doesn't say this, but it could be, I'm not going to waste my time. That's why I'm not going to go. I'm not going to go to the bris. I'm not going to go to this. It's below me. Now we have, based on that, we have an important distinction then between a bris that's much shorter, that we really don't have the ability to say it's below me, I'm not going to waste the time. Okay, you go for an hour and then you leave. And a chasana, that in the United States, the standard chasana, here I don't have timing, is 6 hours. Yeah. It's 6 hours, and then when you go in excess of 6 hours, I guess it depends where you are, then you're in an overtime situation with the band and the catering hall and this and that, but 6 hours is the typical time for a chasana. That's a lot of time. So it's most people, when they're saying, I'm not going to go to the chasana, it's not that, oh, it's below me, I'm not going to waste the time, but that's a lot of time.
Who says you have to stay the whole time? Why can't you reply that you're not going and make a showing?
It's a good. So I'll answer based on another unrelated concept. Well, he says that when it comes...
You could have 5 chasanas in one night, so you couldn't stay 6 hours.
What's that?
In your shalom, you could have 4 or 5 chasanas in a night.
Right.
You just go and see,
right.
Shake hands.
But let's assume one. A chasana in and of itself takes much longer. You go, there's a tesh. Then there's the chuppah, and there's a lag between them, and then the cheder yichud. So even at those, and if you want to wait and participate in the meal, there could be 45 minutes to an hour and a half for a yichud and pictures between them. So by definition, the critical parts of a chasana take a lot longer than a bris. But he also says here that when it comes to a chasana, you have to compute also that built into it, it's kuf lamed hay, top left, where the host of Sham, Shishama Ma'agon Rabbi Meir Chadash Atzal, the Koma Shifligo Chazal Bechil, Lishata Besudas Nesuin, this whole concept of Chazal talk a lot about going the importance to go to a wedding. That's talking about, okay, you have to spend some time with the Suda, but then you should go, spend the time, go to the Suda. But then if you have other times that you have to expend, like getting ready, and it's an hour and a half away, and all of these other times, then it lowers my responsibility to go to the chasana. Okay, last issue that I want to talk about is, we've said then that there's a minhag to not, quote-unquote, invite to a bris. We are not knowing that way by a chasana. Don't invite to bris. Inform people. What is the definition of an invitation? How do you find invitation? So, kuf lamed ei, in the middle, to the left side, betokif hazmana zo kasa b'shulchan ha'ezer. What's an invitation? Demishloach kartise hazmana vaday eino nikra hazmana linyan zeh. Sending invitation cards is not an invitation. That's not the definition of an invitation. Now, Lamaisa, we don't send invitations to a bris. We don't, because there's not time, but you could do it on email nowadays. Email, you all these services that you send, that would be an invitation. But you don't snail mail bris. But there's even a lower level of, you send off a blast of this, people let me know if you're coming. That's not a real invitation. But he brings two explanations why that's not invitation. I was sending an invitation card. Number one, kaven she'ena kavana. The first one is somewhat debatable, that the kavana of the person sending it out is not to invite people, but it's simply to inform them. And he wants to bring a proof that you send it even to people that you are overseas that you know are not going to come. You're not doing it to invite them. You're doing it to inform them of it. That's debatable, but okay, in any case. Number two, va'od, towards the end of the paragraph, ma'achar dekriya zohi kama yamim kol manesuin. This is very interesting. Because this invitation is a number of days before the wedding, ve'ein adayin achiyu shel su'udas mitzvah. There's no chiyu of the su'udas mitzvah. Based on that, it would be only if you invite on that day. Well, you know what? Even not on that day, after the actual chuppah is when you have the... So you'd have to invite people after the chuppah when you have a chuyuh of a suda's mitzvah at that point. So I'm not sure exactly, but in any case, he's saying that snail mail types of invitations, that's not a real invitation. That's not a bona fide invitation. Next paragraph of Bekobet tal pios nistapek im hazmana betelephone. If he has a suffix, I'm unclear. Inviting someone by phone or al yedei shaliach im hu hazmana miyuchedes v'chayv lelech. Is that a designated miyuchad enough invitation? Now, it's an you would think that a shaliach, we have this question by Google messengers, could be on a higher level. You send a messenger. I guess it depends who you send. But sometimes we say, like mishloach manot, there's sitas that say you have to do a shaliach because it's a higher level of significance. When you send a messenger to deliver something, makes people feel better. Or on the other hand, other person can say, no, you certainly you can be yotzei delivering yourself. Maybe they feel better when you deliver it to yourself. But he's saying here, in any case, he's a suffix, is a telephone. That's not okay. I called you on the phone. Is that enough? Or does it have to be that a real in-person, bona fide, genuine, warm invitation? That is a real invitation. He brings them the yaivitz, kasav le'ina brismila, deino mischayev elim ken hizminu pamayim, unless you're invited twice. That's a real invitation. Why? Because he brings that the akirei of Yerushalayim, the dignified people of Yerushalayim, would only go to an event, to a seudah, if they were invited two times. That was the... I don't know, the formality or the whatever we would say, that was the way that it was, that it was done. Let me recap real quickly our inyan based on this week's parsha with Bris Milah, in particular Seudas Mitzvah. We brought five different reasons why we have a Seuda to Bris Milah, starting with Avram Avinu for Yitzchak, etc. Yisrael, various reasons why we have a Seuda. The minhag is to have 10 at the bris itself, and also we should have 10 at the Seuda. Then we got into the question, and we see the Gemara tells us a Yesh Omrim, that somebody who's not Mishtatav, somebody who's not Mesav, dines at the Suda of a Bris. According to Tosfos, the problem does it bring two explanations. Is it a Bris? Is it a Chasana? So based on that, if somebody doesn't attend, doesn't eat, and he was invited, the minhag started to not invite people, but inform them in order to skirt this whole issue, to avoid this whole issue of not being kemudun al hashamayim, to be excommunicated by Shemayim, by brought by the Ramah. Somebody who doesn't need a tzuda drit milah is like mendun al hashamayim. That's a very serious thing. So let's not invite. Let's simply inform people. But even if people are informed, or we know the importance, even if they're not, even if they are informed, or even if they're invited, but still there's a great inyan to go to the bris, so you should have a p'tur. And we brought down the various p'turim of not going. And for example, somebody has to learn Torah, so you certainly have to earn a parnassah, somebody who is minyan, you have to pick the kids up. If you have a real reason to miss Talmud Torah, if you have a real reason to miss this, the bris milah, then there would be a p'tur, even if invited, apparently, wouldn't be a problem.
An invitation is very difficult to get.
Even though we have a question of what's a real invitation for this, and some poskim seem to be fairly lenient, an invitation has to be a real warm invitation. I'm sure other poskim say, you know, it could be depending on the minhag of olam. The minhag nowadays, if it's the email, that's an invitation. If it says you're invited, that's how we do it, that would be an invitation. So that will leave us an open question. Have a good Shabbos.
Quite a riot.